has a toll-free number. So, Mom, if you're listening, I got your messages. Tell Cousin Tommy I hope all is well. And honestly, would it hurt you to look into an 800 number? I'm your only son, for crying out loud.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. Or follow this guy's toll-free penchant and call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Welcome to Walmart. You like this LG TV?
Yeah, but it doesn't fit my budget.
Well, layaway's back. Just pay a little at a time and it's yours.
Layaway's back? Perfect.
Layaway's back?
Layaway's back.
So I take it you're putting that on layaway?
Layaway's back for Christmas in our electronic, toy, and jewelry departments. Buy now and pay a little at a time on the gifts they want most. Layaway available October 17th through December 16th, 2011, excluding Black Friday, November 25th, 2011. On eligible items, restrictions and fees apply. See store for details. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Karnikoff will be unable to. What was the reason again? He won't be able to.
He had a colonoscopy today, and he is.
He performed one on an animal, or
no,
he had one?
No, he had one.
Well, so, well, what, why can't he talk on the phone? I had a colonoscopy. You know where I came? Here to work.
I know.
What a baby.
He went to work and did some stuff, and he said he's fallen asleep, so he's going
to
go. And
well, that has nothing to do with colonoscopy.
It does affect different people differently.
I can't. The anesthetic, when I get put out for any kind of surgery, I'm wiped out for the rest of the day.
Well, I guess maybe I'm just one tough guy.
Yeah, you are.
I didn't feel tired at all afterwards.
You're one tough woman.
But it, I guess, it, like I said, my friend Linda had it, and she said she went home and slept the whole day.
That's what I do.
Wow. I came to work.
It was like it was no big deal to you.
Yeah. It was no big deal.
No big deal having something up there.
Colonoscopy is no big. I know what you're trying to do. Okay. I guess.
Just another day.
Yeah.
I wasn't tired at all.
Not worn out or anything.
Okay, so let's. This could be fun and interesting and helpful to those of you out there looking for a job. I have a daughter who is trying to figure out the rest of her life, which she doesn't understand how sort of funny that is to those of us who are a little older. You're not supposed to have your life figured out at 23. But she has two brothers who figured theirs out early, knew what they wanted to do. And I think when you are a sibling, you have brothers, sisters, you compare yourself. It's like a constant kind of competition. One's doing this and the other one's doing, and how do I stack up? And it shouldn't be, but that's kind of the way it is. It never was that way with me and my brother, but we're so completely, totally opposite that we just, there wasn't a great connection after we got older. We speak and, you know, we're friendly, but we're not close by any means. If it weren't for, you know, my dad, we I don't know how often we would have reason to get together or to talk. But because of the self-inflicted pressure she has, she now has realized, okay, I have a degree, I went to college, now what? And it's starting to really hit her, this realization that that is not insurance that she'll get a job. Because a lot of her friends who graduated, have some of them as much as 2 years now, they still don't have a job. Or they're doing something they really don't want to do just to have a place to live. Mm-hmm. So she had a phone interview this morning. And if there's anything that I was always pretty good at, not a lot of things, but I will tell you folks that the advice that I think I'm about to give you is pretty solid. And I say that knowing that not everybody is a salesman and not everybody is capable of sitting in a room or across a table or even on the phone in an interview and creating the illusion that you are confident and comfortable. Because sometimes it is an illusion. You're as nervous as you can be. You have a stomachache. You're in knots. You're nervous. You need a job. You want the job. But you don't want them, the potential employers, to sense that. You want to appear together, confident. So she has a phone interview. That's step one. And I talked to her last night for a long time, and I said, what time is this interview? She said, 10:30. It'll be 30, 40 minutes on the phone with a couple of people on the other end. And I said, have you prepared any questions to ask them? And she said, no, they're interviewing me. And I said, get a pencil, pen and paper. You're going to ask them questions. And she didn't really quite understand at first the idea of that. Well, here's what that's about. I think when you get in, and let me just say this too, I'm a weirdo, all right? I like that car buying experience and haggling because I won't allow them to haggle, and I liked the job interview experience.
You're a weird little s***, Frank, and I don't get you.
Yeah, well, why don't you be quiet, Lauren?
Oh, my goodness.
I always enjoyed it. I don't care how many people were in the room staring me down, how big the table was, whether they sat higher than I did. I enjoyed it. I like the challenge to see, can I pull this off? Can I get this job? Can I make them want me to come here? So I said, why don't you ask them what their vision is of the person to fill this job? What do you see in your heads? Because you have to have an idea of who it is you think you want to hire. This is a new position, by the way, newly created. She's not replacing anybody. Mm-hmm. And I said, ask them that. And then they're going to come back, and I said, let's say she's 23. I said, let's say you ask them, who do you see filling this position? And if they said to you, well, we really kind of saw somebody more like 28 to 32, what would you say to that? And she said, well, I mean, I'm 23. I said, well, that's not what you say. They know you're 23. They've just told you they had sort of figured they'd end up with somebody 28 to 32. I said, here's what I'd say. I'd say, well, in 5 years, I'll be 28. And in 5 years, I'll be the 28-year-old you want, but I'll be better than the one you're looking for now because I'll have had 5 years' experience with you, and we'll already be on the same wavelength and have the same mission, the same focus, the same goal, and have accomplished a lot together by the time I'm 28, as opposed to starting at 28. She said, oh, Dad, that's good. So she starts writing down. I said, now here's another thing. You have the voice of a 10-year-old girl. You sound like a little girl. Why don't you address that before they address it in their heads? Because when they hear you on the phone, they're going to hear what sounds like a little girl, and they're going to hang up, and somebody might say, you know, this requires calling on people and meeting people, and I don't know if they're going to really think that she has much experience, credibility, knowledge, or whatever, moxie, if she sounds like a little girl. I said, why don't you address it before they do? She said, what do you mean? I said, I would just say to them, I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, I know that right now you're probably thinking, this woman sounds like a 10-year-old. Just go ahead and address it and say, it's kind of a curse. But it's also going to be a blessing in this case because this job involves teaching children 10 and under. Who better to do it than someone they're comfortable with because I don't sound like a threatening, intimidating, booming voice adult. Oh, Dad, that's good. So she writes this down.
Yeah, because I saw a segment on CBS Sunday Morning. They showed the new head chief of the New York Times. I don't know if you saw that. I know you watched that show. But she has, and it's a big deal for a woman to have a job like that, and right. She has a very odd speech pattern. She talks like a...
Forrest Gump?
No, I mean, I don't even know how to describe how she talks, but it was a very odd speech pattern, but she didn't let that stand in
because it could work against you.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
You know, I said, don't mention money, don't mention benefits. Don't even address that stuff. If they address it, okay, but don't address that. It was so much fun for me. I mean, I was wishing that I could go in her place. I'm sorry, she was unable to take the phone call. I'll be talking on the phone for her and answering your questions. And I said, you know, you can ask them too. If they ask you, what is your plan? Because this really is about teaching tennis. If they said, what is your plan to implement this program? What is your answer going to be? She said, well, you know, I love tennis. I said, that's not a plan. I said, you don't have a plan. And you tell them why you don't have a plan, because they haven't told you what your tools are. What do you have to work with? Do I have a budget? Do I have a staff? Do I have some? What am I going to have to work? I can't formulate a plan until I know what I have to work with. At least that lets them know that you are thinking and ready to work with whatever it is they have for you to work with. And the other thing that I wanted to tell her, and I did, and then I backed out. I said, don't do that. I said, I did it, and it worked, but don't do it. And that was to say to them, listen, I want this job, and I'll make you a deal. You bring me in there, and if in 2 months you don't see this is going the right direction, I will sign a document stating that over the course of the next year, I will pay you back the salary you gave me. I work for nothing. But that's not going to happen. I'm that confident. I said, that's a tremendous statement of confidence that you pay them back. And she said, well, I wouldn't have the money to pay them back. I said, well, that's a problem. but you won't ever have to worry about it because it's not going to come to that. Just the fact that you said that. And it was just fun to go back and try to dig up all the things that I used. You know, I did that with a guy to get a job. I made it 2 months. I said, you know, 8 weeks. And in 8 weeks, if you don't, he said, I only have two positions like this, and you'd be the third guy, and I don't have room for a third person. I said, in 8 weeks, you'll fire one of these other people because I'm that much better. You'll fire one, and if you don't, I'll pay you back the 8 weeks' pay. And you know what? That guy hired me, and 8 weeks later, he fired a guy, and I still remember the name of the guy he fired. And the guy walked out crying when he called him into firing. And you know why I didn't feel bad? Because that guy was a hack, he was a no-talent, and he had no business working there anyway, and my boss realized it after you put the two works side by side. This guy was just kind of coasting. And by the way, I was also hungry and starving and desperate, and that guy wasn't. So I just worked harder at it. It's an interesting process, this whole job interview. And here's the other sad thing, is that you don't get a chance to sit in front of the person hiring you the way you used to. You got to go online. You got to apply. Everybody has to do the same. Nobody gets a leg up. You can't have a friend call who knows a vice president and set up an interview. No. We can't do that anymore. You got to go the same route. Send in the thing online. We'll take a look. You may get a call. That's too bad, because a lot of times if somebody could meet you, man, that would close the door on the whole deal, I think, or open the door, because impressions that you make physically to them are going to give them a pretty good indication of what's going to happen when you meet their customers or their clients or whatever. You know, you may sound great on the phone, and then you walk in there and you got 16,000 tattoos and a dinner bell hanging from your eyebrow, and this is not what we heard on the phone. That was fun for me. I also want to mention very quickly, then we will get to the phones, that I in the paper this morning, I noticed in the obituary section, and it's so strange to me how usually I see the obituary page, I glance at the larger pictures, because I figure this is somebody of prominence, somebody who did something important in the community, blah, blah, and then I don't really pay any attention. And today I go and I see this obituary for Richard Klein. And as soon as I saw it, I went back about 30 years, because Richard Klein hired me to host a phony movie review show. It was a pilot that was a joke. It was like a Siskel and Ebert thing, but it was done as a joke. I had a female co-host, and we would sit and talk about the clip you're about to watch from a movie. But it was a movie from like 1930. They were
all old movies.
Old black and white, horrible, horrible C-grade movies. But we acted like
this is the hottest new movie coming
out.
No,
we didn't even say it is a hot new movie. If you can get your hands on this great old movie. And they were horrible. Old westerns, junk nobody ever heard of. And this guy, Richard Klein, was a very interesting guy. He was, I don't know how to describe him. In the paper this morning, they said, public relations man, liked to pull hoaxes. He was a great con man in the good sense. Because when he called me, I remember the day he called me and he introduced himself, he said, Richard Klein, ABC Television. And I thought, what? Why? Because I had just started in radio, and I thought, oh, my goodness, somebody from ABC. Well, Richard would kind of stretch things a little. He had done some work for ABC, But it's sort of like I could say right here, right now, that I've done some work for ABC. I've done some work for the Associated Press. You know what it amounted to? There was a story years ago, and I worked at a radio station. I called in a report to the Associated Press. You know, reporting live opinion from the... That's my work for the Associated Press. And they sent me a check for $10. Richard Klein was the master at knowing how to get your attention. And, buddy, I couldn't wait to meet him. He got a studio at one of the charter-type cable companies. We had a crew, a director, a script, and video. It was unbelievable. It went nowhere. Nowhere. But it was exciting. So, one of a kind. We don't have many of these guys anymore. Richard Klein, a guy who just could look at... Here, they mentioned in this article that he planned to sell a product he called Klein's Kosher Style Dog Food. He did the entire ad campaign for it. The ads won advertising awards. He never produced the product. He never made one can of dog food. Yet he went through all the other steps. He did the ads. No product.
Usually you get the product first and then worry about advertising.
This guy was a piece of work. He was very, very interesting. So there you go. As another little episode as I was struggling to figure out who I... And the other thing, I never, ever set out to be on the radio. Never. I wanted to be an optometrist because I thought, you know, that's what my parents would approve of. And it was a kind of a clean job. It didn't get real dirty. You know, is this better? Is this better? Is this left eye, right eye? One, two, one or two? That's what I wanted to do. I never intended on doing this. And I you know, it's just weird how people in their 20s think because some counselor told them, well, you need to decide what it is you want to do and go for that. And you don't know what you want to do. You haven't met everybody yet. You're going to meet somebody one day, and they're going to do something. You never even knew that job existed. They'll introduce you to a friend. If you like it, they'll go, well, you know what, we have an opening. And boom, 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 next thing you know, you're doing something. You didn't even know that job existed. All right, what do we have? 4:30. Can I take one call? Then we'll take a break. We're good. We're on track because Dr. Doug's not going to join us today. Hello, Rich. How are you?
Hey, Frank. Yeah, I was wondering what type of degree did your daughter get?
She has a degree in corporate communications, which, quite frankly, I don't know what that means, and I'm not sure she knows what it means. But it's a degree in corporate communications, whatever that is.
Yeah, it's... I mean, these poor kids, I'll tell you. It is bad out there, Frank.
More graduates than jobs.
Huh?
A lot more graduates than jobs.
There is. And I will tell you this. Here's the sad thing about these universities. And I have been, let's just say, affiliated with one.
Yeah.
Without saying, you know, too much detail, is when these students come in, you know, the last thing they ever talk to them about is getting a job. It's all about broadening your mind and your education and these kinds of things.
And I know exactly where you're headed here. At least I think I do. Wouldn't it be a great idea to have a course in when you walk out of these doors, you need to be armed with this information to go get a job? Give them some idea at least of what to do to get in the door. They really don't.
Well, especially in this day and age, as bad as it is right now.
Because we're so disconnected. Everything's online. Meetings are held on computers. You don't fly in and shake the guy's hand or the woman's hand, and you're disconnected. I couldn't agree more.
It's a self-preservation thing, is what it is.
Yeah. For the colleges.
For the colleges.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people at, let's just say, Washington University, professors who may have been teaching there 5, 6, 7 years. I don't want to take anything away from their brightness or whatever.
Nine.
You know, they're making $240,000 to $250,000 a year.
Wow.
And they are so far removed from the real world. But these kids that go in there and they major in psychology and history and social studies and whatever, Frank, there are no jobs for these kids. There is nothing out there.
We're sending the wrong message, though, when you say to them, if you want to get a job, you got to get a degree. It almost sounds like that's your insurance.
That's a ticket, yeah. For any job you want.
There's your ticket.
So in those days, at one time, did work, Frank, especially like, you know, back in when you were 21, 22.
Right.
And I don't even know if you graduate from college or not.
No, I have no college degree. I have a high school diploma, though, I'm proud
to
say.
Well, back then, in the early 70s, when you would have graduated from college, let's say 71, 72, knowing your age.
Right.
You know, they came to the campuses.
Yeah.
The schools came to the campuses. And what they did was, you had a liberal arts degree, the idea was, well, we'll train you.
Right.
Is what the whole idea was. Now, today, that doesn't happen.
No.
They don't go to the campuses anymore.
It's completely.
And you're right. Everything's done over the internet.
But you're right, too, about the people teaching. They don't live in the real world, and in many cases, didn't even ever work in that world. And I got thrown out. The little bit of college I had, I got thrown out of a writing class, a broadcast writing class. I took just enough to know that, you know what, school's not for me, I'm out of here. But I was in a class, and the teacher was talking to us about writing what's called copy in this business. Most people would think of it as a script. It's what the announcer reads. And so he's telling us to type it in all uppercase, completely in uppercase. And he says, that's the way the announcers like to read it, that way. And I just said, that's not true. And he says, I'm sorry, young man, what did you say? And I said, it's not true. I said, I work part-time at a radio station. No copy comes in all uppercase, because when you do that, the beginnings of sentences don't jump out at you with a capital letter. Capital, proper nouns and names that are designated by the fact that they start with a capital, those don't stand out.
Words that need
punctuation
emphasis,
changes when you can't see clearly. I said, I've never seen any copy printed in all uppercase. And he says, well, I guess you know more than the professor. I said, well, in this case, yes, I do. And I said, because you are just that, a professor, have you ever even worked in a radio station? And he said, you are dismissed from this class. That was it. But it's true. I don't want a doctor teaching me surgery who's never operated on anybody. He just
Frank?
Read about it. Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Hey, now I want to ask you, though. Didn't you say she went for a job interview for children under 10?
No, teaching 10 and under.
Teaching?
Tennis.
Oh, teaching tennis?
Yes.
Just to go and get a job, period? Is that what that's about? I mean, what does it have to do with her degree? Or is she just trying to get a job?
No, it's with the USTA, U.S. Tennis Association. I think they require a degree. It's a big, USTA is a big deal. It's like the NFL or, you know, it's in that organization and that structure. It's more than just teaching the kids yourself. It's implementing programs throughout the country or the Midwest to show schools how to get kids interested in tennis.
There's
more
to
it than just yourself teaching a kid to play tennis.
I see. So it's something of a sales position.
It is absolutely it's a sales position.
Okay, yeah. Now, I know when my daughter first graduated from college, she went and answered an ad. You know, she got all dressed up and looked beautiful and all this and took the suitcase, et cetera. Came back, and what it was to sell MasterCard door-to-door.
Really?
Yeah. And of course, she was heartbroken. Because, you know, it wasn't her college degree, but the way the ad read, that's what it sounded like.
Because what, did people weren't familiar with credit cards? Is that
Well, go out and sell credit cards to people, you know, walk in your office over there at KTRS.
Oh, okay, I see. Sign the, okay,
yeah.
I got you.
You know,
and
she walked back heartbroken, thinking, my God, I spent 4 years in college for this.
Yeah, my dad tells a great story. My dad he didn't even get out of high school. He had to go get a GED eventually, but he said he went for a job with an insurance company, and my dad couldn't sell his way out of a paper bag. He can't sell anything. So he gets the little crash course and his booklet and his information. He knocked on one door. This is when you went to people's homes and says, I'd like to talk to you about life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
He knocks on one door, and they said, not interested. He went and turned all his stuff in. He said, I can't. He says, I could never do that.
He saw how it's going
to
go.
Oh, man, he was devastated that they didn't even talk to him. He said, I could never sell. I can't take that. So.
Well, Frank, I wish you good luck.
Well, thank you, Richard.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We have to take a break. I know just the man to take it with. A man who... You want to hear a true story?
Sure.
Bruce, you got any storytelling music? Since we're talking about, you know, futures and kids, this is the true story. And I won't name names or get specific. It's a story of a young boy whose dad was a car dealer. And this young boy goes to his dad one day and says, "Dad, I know that you're a respected car dealer and I know that you like what you do, but I think I'm going to go a different direction in life." His dad says, "Well, what is it you think that you want to do?" He says, "Well, I want to be a beautician. I would like to cut hair and style hair for men and women. Have my own, like, salon." His dad said, "Son, I think that's a great idea. There's nothing that says you have to follow in your dad's footsteps." So this young boy, I won't mention his name, went out, learned about cutting hair and styling hair, opened his own business. And then a gay guy came along and opened up a competing business across the street and put him out of business.
Oh.
Yeah. Lost all of his savings and his investments because the gay guy was so much better.
Did that little boy own his scissors and chair?
He owned his own building and lot and chair and scissors and clippers.
Wow.
Yes, he did. He had paid them off. And just as he paid them off...
And that blue water that you put the combs and
everything
in? Yes,
he owned the blue water. Wow. And just as he paid it all off, the gay guy comes in and just blows him out of the water. I mean, just takes all his business away.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. That's sad.
And he went back to his dad and says, "Dad, I hope you'll still take me into the business." I'm sorry, when I tell this... excuse me.
Well, yeah, it's a sad story.
Welcome to my salon. How would you like your haircut?
He says,
would you like a
shave? Well, he had a saying, and he thought this will be the catchphrase for the whole barber salon industry. They said, "I'm ready to have my hair done." He'd say, "Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down?" Meaning, are you ready? Are you in your seat? Are you sitting down? And he went to his dad and
said, "Are you cutting me?"
Dad,
that wouldn't make sense.
"Dad, I wouldn't blame you. If you've closed the door to the family business," his dad opened his arms to him and said, "No, son, welcome. Welcome into the business." And I'm not going to get into detail.
The customer, after he got done getting his hair cut, he'd pull out his wallet, and the little boy would say, "Are you tipping me?
Are you tipping me?
Are you tipping me? Are you tipping me?" That's a true story.
Wow.
That's a true story.
But you were just getting ready to
but
do
enough
some
about
business
that.
Here, weren't
enough
you?
Enough about that. Let's move on to other things.
Yeah.
Please welcome.
Switch gears.
Yeah, something totally unrelated. John Landoff Jr., everybody.
Wow.
Hey, John. John, how's it going?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's going pretty good. It was an interesting story,
it's
I would
a touching story. It's a lesson there. You know, you let a kid try his wings... And if it doesn't work out, you bring him back.
Well, it's totally unrelated because John went into his
I didn't even realize we were going to be talking to John.
I mean, so it's totally unrelated.
Yeah, he had no idea that you were going to be talking to me.
No, really I looked up and I saw it.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Of course,
Friday
up,
when you work on a Friday. Yeah, every Monday, Wednesday, almost all the time we talk at 4:30. You're right.
Yeah, I just
we were going to talk at 3:30 because there was going to be a baseball game, but I don't know about you all in Westport, but it is pouring down rain here in Florissant.
Really?
Well, good, because if it didn't pour down at least a little bit, they would really look stupid with that forecast they threw at us, because it scared everybody. It was a big-time rain forecast.
Who's your favorite weather, you know, meteorologist?
You know what? I would have to go with Dave Murray if I had to pick one. I just have to say Dave. He's been around here forever. He's solid, and you know, he gets it wrong, too, a lot of the time.
Well, they all do, yeah.
I
like Dave.
Yeah.
I like Ken Earhart. And
you know who I don't watch, but I almost
I don't
wish...
say anything bad about her, but she's just so happy this time of year when the weather is beautiful.
Who are you talking about? Pressler?
Yeah, Cindy Pressler.
Yeah, she's a cute... But you know what? But she's a cutie.
Yeah.
She's cute.
Oh, yeah, I mean, she's a hell of a lot better looking than Dave and Ken, but, you know, she gets so excited. I say, she gets so excited when it's like, you know, coming up duck season now, okay?
See, the problem I have with her is I don't pay any attention to what she's saying because I'm looking... No, I'm looking at her body. She's got a nice body. So if I want information, news, weather, I'd like to absorb, you know, the actual information.
Right.
And it's hard to do that when all you're doing is thinking, yeah, you got a rocking body.
Look at that warm front.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Look at that warm front.
How about that Jets dream?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I gotta say, wow. I wouldn't have said
almost,
that.
That's almost kinky.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, crazy I there. Agree.
I don't think I
would. That's some haircutting days.
Showers.
Wow. I never cut hair.
What are you talking about?
No.
Yeah, but you come on. You were insinuating.
No, no, that
you know,
story had nothing to do.
Said, hey,
no.
Cut hair.
Had nothing
now,
to do.
Let me ask you this. Buddy of mine, and he'll owe me for this mention, Mark Branca, Studio Branca.
I know exactly who it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I had an idea, in fact, and I didn't share it with him because I thought he'd steal it. You know how people are about their pets? They spend a ton of money on the grooming. Studio Branca for your dog.
Oh.
Huh? What do you think?
What do you say? He passed on.
I didn't throw a little dough at that.
Go for it. I think that'd be
a great
idea.
If he's listening, he ought to call
maybe
me.
Maybe something for your wife to do, huh? Watch the
He should be calling me right now going, hey, how do I get in on that idea? I'd like to write you a check. Let's get that going. Studio Branca for dogs. I think I got it.
I mean, the guy is one of the, definitely top salons, if not the top in St. Louis. He has no hair. He's bald. Nothing against it. He's a great-looking guy. Not that I'm into guys, but it's like, he cuts hair for a living, but, who cuts his?
Let's not give him any more publicity. He could buy time here if he wanted to.
He should.
He should. He absolutely should.
He's a little tight, though. I've sold him a couple of vehicles. Woo! This is, even with the rain, it's just unbelievable day. Great day. Very, very, very busy. Some unbelievable people, AM and the PM. It seems like literally almost every other customer listens to the show.
Well, the decent people of the world are listeners to this show.
And again, it's not, they're all funny. They really are. Nobody comes in that says, I'm AM and the PM, and they don't smile.
Glum.
They're not happy.
Yeah. No.
They all come in and they want, we got to do some more pictures too. We got to do more pictures because we're out.
We can do that.
Are you ready?
Yeah, we can do that.
Again? Yeah. I can't wait. But, it's been a great day. Silverado pickup trucks, fire hot, regular cabs for $15,590.
Fire hot. You can't get hotter than fire.
You can't get hotter than fire.
I don't think
hot.
You can.
Yeah, and are you sitting down?
Yeah. Are you sitting down?
I didn't say it that way.
You kidding me? No, you didn't. That time, you didn't. You're right.
Are you sitting down?
Yes,
we are.
Yes, we are.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah.
$18,900 for an extended cab Silverado.
Now that must be used pre-owned.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Chevy Cruze. I'd say it's the number one selling car in America.
You just did.
I told you before, though.
Right.
Do you guys ever listen when I talk?
Sure.
No, you don't.
What?
Okay. That's okay. I understand. The listeners listen. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
Only $16,900 for a 2012 Chevy Cruze.
Well, that also must be a pre-owned 2012.
No. Chevy Malibu is only $18,900. The number one Chevrolet dealership. Got some big brass coming in from Detroit tomorrow, Mr. Alan Beatty. He's senior VP, head of sales and marketing.
Head of sales and marketing in the United States? Or
for the country, yes.
Wow! When that happens, what do you do to prepare for that? Do you bring in extra cleaning crews? One of those companies that brings plants in, extra plants?
It's already spotless. It already looks
I know,
like
but
that
do,
every
you,
day.
Do you kind of add, go the extra...
The ambiance?
Yeah. Put music through the system.
A little nicer suit, maybe.
Tell everybody kind of dress it up, clean your desks off. Do you go through? Do you do that stuff when they
We do that every day. Whether a senior VP of GM showing up, or we do that for our customers.
Good answer. Good answer.
Good answer. I'm Alan Beatty's customer. Okay, one of the largest Chevy stores in the country. We sell a lot of vehicles for him. We service a lot of vehicles for he and General Motors. So you know what? I'm his customer.
What's his name? What's his name?
Alan Beatty.
Was he that guy that had to squeal like a pig in that?
No.
Ned Beatty.
Brother Ned.
That's right. Brother Ned.
Mm-hmm. You are so funny today.
He doesn't. Never mind.
And he's giggling about his own story.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I think the stuff I say is funnier than anybody. Yeah.
Nobody else in the room is, but
no,
I think
they
it's
don't
funny.
Think it's funny. Yeah.
It's very funny.
Alan
Beatty. Hey,
and
again,
it's kind of like.
How much do you think that guy make? What's his job again? VP. What is he with GM? What does he do?
Vice President, Sales and Marketing.
Sales and Marketing. What do you think he makes?
I don't care.
I mean, what do you think? Is he a million a year? What does he make?
I don't know. I really don't. Want me to ask him tomorrow?
Sure. How much do you make, Alan?
One of the number one afternoon radio show in St. Louis. Maybe we'll get you on the air and you can ask him.
Who picks him up at the airport? Do you pick him up?
No.
What do? Send somebody in a Suburban to get him? How do you do
that? Our zone manager, Ken Sadowski. Ken Sadowski and his team, probably Mike Sager.
In a black Suburban, I bet.
I'm sure it will be a black Suburban.
Tinted windows, you bet.
You know, having been to Washington, D.C. now twice this year and getting involved with, lobbying for automobile dealers for the state of Missouri, it's really interesting. There must be 10,000 black Suburbans.
Oh, Washington loves black Suburbans.
When I'm trying to find a black Suburban for my customer, now I know where they all are.
In Washington.
Washington, D.C.
The president's got them in the fleet.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, and why not? It is the greatest SUV, along with the Chevy Tahoe. You know, we ran out of Suburbans this spring and summer, so I started driving a Tahoe. You know, I absolutely love it, of course, but it's an unbelievable vehicle. I moved back into a Suburban now because you know what happens Saturday morning up in Ellsbury.
I'm guessing something to do with ducks.
Quack, quack.
Yeah.
Yep. It is hunting season, and... Hold on, I just got a text from our buddy Lendell Phillips. Huh?
Don't pay attention to that.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
What's
he's
he saying?
Something about duck hunting. That's rude. He knows you're on there.
That's right. Yeah.
And by the way, we're out of time, and now he's made us even more out of time.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Here,
how you doing, buddy? I know you're on the air.
1-800-347-1800-247-365. Lawnduff.com. Mary Beth Tedes, second of the team. And, no ball game tonight. No football game. Hockey game's not on until way late. Come in, get a great deal, some great people, and an absolute best service department in the Midwest. And it's been great talking to you all.
Been great talking to you, John.
My day.
We'll send them out.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye. There he goes. Are you kidding me? He didn't say it that way on purpose because he knew we were watching for it. We have to take a break. We're coming back. Big 550 KTRS.
Traffic sponsored by John Beale Roofing, and here's Tim Weiland with your Golden Oak Lending traffic. How's it look out there, Tim?
Well, Tina, first let me tell you this report's brought to you by Garmin. Reimagined, redesigned, ready to move you. Check out the all-new 2012 Garmin Nuvi Personal Navigators at Garmin.com. That's Garmin.com. Garmin. Follow the leader. They've cleared that accident, that overturned vehicle from the ramp on the northbound 270 to eastbound or to Highway 44. Also, eastbound 270 now is running stop and go from McDonald through New Florissant. Southbound 270 is heavy page down through Doherty Ferry. And on westbound 70, look for slow traffic from Cave Springs through T.R. Hughes. This report's also brought to you by 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. You probably have a serious smartphone. Why not use it to call Safe Auto for immediate state minimum coverage? You can pay with a credit card. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO, state minimum coverage, maximum savings. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
This is Mike Kelly, the voice of the Mizzou Tigers. You're listening to the Big 550 KTRS.
And the Big 550 is your exclusive home for everything Mizzou. Monday night at 7 p.m., it's Tiger Talk with Gary Pinkle on KTRS. We'll talk about who's hot and who's not, the results of last weekend's game, and the outlook for the next matchup on the schedule. The Tigers are here on
the Big 550 KTRS.
We are our Mizzou.
Hey, this is Tom Strive with Strive Electric Company. 15 years ago, when I got into the field, I had a dream. And that dream became reality in 2004 when the doors of Strive Electric opened. We started the company specializing in small residential service work, service upgrades, lighting, remodeling, and custom homes. We have since expanded into commercial work and generator systems. With our latest addition of a bucket truck, we are now tooled for all of your sign and lighting maintenance needs. With storm season coming, we offer emergency services. Give us a call today to see how we can save you up to $500 on a home generator system. We pride ourselves on quality from the time we take your call to the time we complete your job. We want your whole experience to be a pleasant one. When you're ready to join the tribe and go with Strive, please give us a call at 314-487-7474. That's 314-487-7474. Or visit our website at StriveElectric.com. That's STRIBElectric.com.
R&R Sanitation Porta Potties is all you need to know if you are in the market for porta potties. Whether it's a company that needs to rent them on a monthly basis, maybe it's a homeowner who has some work done at the house, or maybe you're planning a wedding. At R&R Sanitation, no job too big and no job too small. At R&R Sanitation, their porta potties are 40% larger, and it's all about service, so you don't have to rent as many, and they're cleaner, and they're cleaned on a regular basis. When you call R&R Sanitation, you get a live person 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. 314-776-4000. That's the phone number to R&R Sanitation. R&R Sanitation is proud to be 100% union, Local 660 to be exact. Most of the top construction firms, they all use R&R Sanitation for one reason. They're the best. 314-776-4000 or rnrportabletoilets.com. St. Louis owned, St. Louis operated, 100% union. They want your stinking business. R&R Sanitation.
For over 35 years, Bob Brocklin Buick GMC has built a solid customer-first reputation in the St. Louis area. Always a market leader in Buick and GMC sales. Now, Bob Brocklin is proud to present one of the Midwest's largest selections of pre-owned cars and trucks. Introducing the Bob Brocklin Pre-Owned Supercenter. With vehicles ranging from $3,500 and up, almost all makes and models are available. If not, then the Brocklin Pre-Owned team will find it for you. View the entire inventory with a click of the mouse at Brocklin.com. That's Brockland.com. Not from St. Louis? Can't make the drive to the dealership? No problem. Bob Brocklin will trailer the pre-owned vehicle of your choice to anywhere in the continental U.S. Buying a pre-owned vehicle just got a lot easier. One of the largest pre-owned vehicle selections in the entire Midwest. And a name you can trust. Bob Brocklin Pre-Owned Supercenter. Just off I-255 at the Highway 157 exit in Cahokia. Or online at Brocklin.com.
Seven Sports Lounge at Casino Queen is your football headquarters. Catch all the action with NFL Sunday Ticket on the new HD video wall and 70-inch TVs. Enjoy an ice-cold 29-degree draft every day for $1.25. Every Saturday through Monday, enjoy bucket of beers, a large pizza, or a platter of hot wings for only $7.77. Seven Sports Lounge and Nightclub, where there's a party 7 days a week. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to the Regulation Rodeo, where Missourians try and hang on to their jobs.
The last thing we need is EPA regulation that would slam Missouri families and businesses with higher energy costs, bucking even more of us from good-paying jobs. The U.S. House of Representatives has done its part. Now it's time for President Obama to tell his EPA to hold their horses. Visit energyformissourijobs.org to learn what you can do to protect your job. Paid for by Energy for Missouri Jobs.
There it is! Let's follow it and see where it goes.
A new kind of broadband company is here. We're CenturyLink, linking Americans coast to coast to what matters. Our consistently fast speeds save you from interruptions and slowdowns, and since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest personal service. We're committed to providing a better experience with 5-year price guarantees and more ways to customize your technology.
I think it's headed across the country.
CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Hi, Mark Conley, General Manager of Conley Roofing Exteriors. Roofing has been our family tradition for 99 years. Please call us at 314-822-7100.
Conley Roofing is tops at our house.
314-822-7100.
From downtown St. Louis is the Bill Cleveland segment starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Limpurst and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. And now, here's Bill Cleveland. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Morning.
Well, hello. President Obama was on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno last night. Have you caught it?
Nope.
Jay asked the president about the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi, and then Obama asked Jay about the overthrow of Conan.
Oh, that's a good response. Yeah.
And fans of MTV's Jersey Shore can now rent the house where the show is taped for $2,500 a night.
All right.
Yeah. And when the show is not taping, the house is a lot like Snooki. Lights are on, but nobody's home.
Yeah,
I actually tried to get a good look at the house on Google Earth. Don't make the same mistake I made. It looks like there's a 3-car garage next door, but that's actually Snooki.
So,
oh, man.
And finally, that's that.
I don't get her.
at all. I do not either. Well, rumors say Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphrey's marriage is on the rocks.
Good.
Just after 8 weeks. 8 weeks and it's all over. It's as though their marriage is one of the new shows on NBC.
That's right, it is.
8 weeks and it's over. The Bill Cleveland segment is brought to you this afternoon by Lick Lead Cab, the official AM and the PM cab company. And from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, see you. Bye.
Sometimes they're easy to call. I told my wife, that skank Kardashian and that guy, that marriage will never make it a year. That was an easy call.
They get a free $1 million wedding out of it. It's a nice...
Yeah,
all the stuff was donated.
They're brilliant at getting FaceTime and publicity.
Sold the pictures,
and I still don't know why. I don't get it. I get her video. Actually, I got her video. Somebody loaned it to me, and I watched it. I get that, but outside of that, no, don't have a clue. Thompson Price has more than a clue when it comes to bathroom remodeling and kitchen remodeling and home entertainment room remodeling, which has become a pretty big deal now that everybody has the flat screen TVs. The kitchen is, I don't know that everybody's family is the same, but I think in most households, and it starts early in the morning, you wake up, and after you go to the bathroom, where do you go? The kitchen. I mean, right to the kitchen. That's the first place I go in the morning. And I have a weird ritual. I have